Welcome back to the McAdoo studio. Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes. It's Bailey and Noakes, and we're hanging out with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. Danny, you and Bimbo back on air Sunday for the Pitt game or no?
No, we will hopefully be back on air Tuesday for the Syracuse game.
Okay.
So no tailgate show for the Pitt game
though. All right, so we got a couple of road games coming up for Virginia Tech, as Chris mentioned there in the previous segment. They lost to Louisville in the last time out, 91-83, and they've fallen to 500 in league play. But for this team to have fallen to 500 in league play at this stage of the season is a feat in and of itself. But Pittsburgh in particular, you know, they've been up and down. A couple of weeks ago, people were talking about maybe Pitt's one of the top three or four teams in the conference, and they take one in the teeth from NC State.
Louisville? I watched their game against Louisville.
Yeah.
And I think Pitt only scored 40-some points in that game, and they just looked terrible. And then NC State, like you said, took one and kicked him in the teeth. Who else did they lose?
Clemson beat him, didn't they?
Yeah. Which Clemson's beat everybody.
Yeah, Clemson's pretty good.
But you know, even in their recent wins, they haven't looked all that impressive. So I think Pitt is a team that seems to have leveled out since conference play has started. And, you know, Virginia Tech beat them in Blacksburg last year. I consider this a winnable basketball game for Virginia Tech.
Well, and exactly what Aaron McFarling wrote a couple of a week ago or so at this point. Tech fans can expect a game now. It seems like every time the Hokies step on the court in this, like you said, this seems like a very winnable game. In fact, I think they kind of need this one right now to you know, it's been a three-game losing streak, and they've been playing well and despite those three losses. So I think, you know, they already got over the hump of getting that first ACC road win. I think that was big at Georgia Tech, and they're just looking to take the next step right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, they beat Georgia Tech. Then they went to Notre Dame and should have beaten Notre Dame.
Should have won, yeah.
They played better against Notre Dame than they did against Georgia Tech,
mm-hmm.
but even though they lost the game. So they went so long without being able to win a road game, but now – arguably, they should have won two road games in a row. And now I don't worry about them saying, oh, gosh, we're on the road where it's definitely going to be a loss.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can go on the road and we can compete. Now, we're going to have to play for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
The reason we were in the game with Notre Dame is because we played for 40 minutes. You know, you can play for 20 minutes against Georgia Tech and still win the basketball game because Georgia Tech's not any good. But you can't do that against the Pitts and the Notre Dames of the world.
Well, and it was funny because Virginia Tech didn't lead that Georgia Tech game until, what, the last minute of the game?
Yeah.
And then they led that Notre Dame game almost the entire game, and they end up losing that one. It's just funny how this team kind of operates right now.
It's college basketball for you.
It is college basketball. It is college basketball. I mean, you look around college basketball these days, and you know, look what Northern Iowa's done this year. I mean, what are they like? What, do they have 13 wins or something like that,
yeah,
maybe? And they've beaten North Carolina and Iowa State,
mm-hmm,
two top five teams. It's a crazy sport. And
look at what Shock has done at Texas in his,
mm-hmm,
first year.
Yeah,
who they beaten? They beat North Carolina.
They beat North Carolina. I know,
Stanford. I think they beat Iowa State too. Right?
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I mean, they've got like four or five marquee wins, mm-hmm, that, you know, despite kind of a rough, I mean, outside of, you know, those wins, they were kind of had a rough go in non-conference, but those wins alone may get them in the tournament.
You know, LSU, they've got Ben Simmons, the number one pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the bubble. They might be out of the tournament if the tournament started tomorrow.
Yeah,
and they have the number one pick in the draft.
The rest of that team
stinks.
How
is that even possible?
The rest of that team stinks.
I know, but still, it's the number one pick in the draft.
By the way,
and you're playing in the SEC.
That's true.
By the way, just quickly, Texas has beaten Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the West Virginia one, too. Yeah.
There you go. Those are three ranked teams.
Shock is going to be a problem at,
mm-hmm,
Texas.
Sure.
I'm telling you. I mean,
sure.
People often talk about the blue blood jobs, right? The Carolina, Duke, Kansas, UCLA, maybe not even UCLA at this point, but you know, the guys like Shaka that want to hold out for the blue blood jobs. I always said Texas with the right guy was a blue blood job because of the resources.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and they're talking about building a new arena down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it. And they have the resources to do that. And, you know, they're in a big city. Texas can win a national championship in whatever sport they want to win a national championship.
If they commit to it, they damn sure can.
Absolutely. So it's a great job. You know, Ohio State is not traditionally a basketball school, but it's a great job,
mm-hmm,
because of the resources they have. Florida, not a traditional basketball school, but they won two national championships under Billy Donovan. I mean, if you're at a place where there's a ton of financial resources, and you don't have to be a basketball school per se to win a national championship in basketball, because if you've got 100,000 fans that'll fill up your football arena every week, then chances are you can get 10,000 to 12,000 of them to show up for basketball games on a daily basis, and you can commit so much money to that program, you can hire whatever coach you want because you got a ton of money, and you know, those schools, if they get the right guy coaching them, can win a lot of basketball games. And I think if Texas can hang on to Shaka, they have a chance to do that.
I think so, too. Now, well, let's go back to Tech for a second, because he had four guys score the other night against Louisville. Now, that's not always going to be the case, but that is concerning. Mm-hmm. And I think what's – you dig a little bit deeper. What's also concerning is Justin Bibbs, 10 points, foul trouble yet again. Jalen finally broke out, though he did a lot of his damage from the free throw line. But Justin Bibbs has to be more involved. He has to be more productive if they're going to win these games. I know they were in the game. I know that Buzz said they did all the right things to win the game, and I agree with him. But Justin Bibbs was supposed to be a guy who was a consistent, 15, 16, 17, 18 point a game type of guy coming off the summer with USA Basketball. He's just not been that. He's had some bursts, but nothing consistent.
You know, when he scored 32, I think it was, against Wake Forest, mm-hmm. and he only made 3 3-pointers in that game.
Right.
He was flashing the floater in the lane. He was driving to the basket, everything like that. He looked like an all-around offensive player. And he didn't look like that before that game, and he hasn't really looked like that since. He has in spots. I think he's a little more consistent at it now than he was. But for him to really take the next step, he has to do something besides sit around and shoot three-pointers all the time. And that's ultimately going to hold him back. And he doesn't do enough on the defensive end, and he doesn't do enough on the boards to just be a shooter. But because if your shot's not there, or the other team just decides, you know what, this is what we're taking away. We're taking away Justin Bibbs' three-point shot today. This is the one thing we're going to take away. What's the point of him even being on the court if he's not going to rebound, if he's not going to be an exceptional defender, and offensively the only thing he does is shoot three-pointers? You're kind of playing 5-on-4 basketball at that point. So he's a guy who's got to refine his game. He's got to get good at multiple things for him to take a step forward. I do not think he would be starting if Ahmed Hill and Chris Clark were healthy right now, because they're more versatile players. They get to the basket more than he does. I think they have higher defensive capabilities. They're more athletic, and they're better on the boards.
It reminds me a lot of the Jarrell Eddie situation. Mm-hmm. It's not a perfect analogy, but Jarrell was a knockdown shooter, but wasn't going to beat anybody off the bounce. Didn't really create his own shot.
Right.
Wasn't a great defender. Justin handles the ball better than Jarrell did. I think
Correct.
It's safe to say.
Yeah.
But there, you draw a lot of comparisons there. Where if they take away right now the one thing that he does really, really well, his utility on the court, at least at the time being, it's marginal, right?
Yeah. That's right, and when you compare the differences between the college game and the pro game, there's so much more spacing in the pro game because the three-point line is so far out there. I think Jarrell even told Berman this in the Roanoke Times article, that he's better. His skill set is better suited to the NBA than it was to college, because the floor is wider and everything
right.
that in the NBA. So I think Bibbs is one of those guys that he's good enough in one thing to make the NBA. I think he's a top-notch three-point shooter, but that's the one thing he's gonna have to work on to be a successful college player, is expanding his game, and he hasn't been able to do that so far.
From a game day standpoint, it seems to me like Bibbs and Jalen Hudson kind of face the same issues, because both of them were, at least at the beginning of the season, not the last couple of games, because I think even though Bibbs has gotten into foul trouble the last two games, He's been more involved, and he can be even more involved than he has been, but they're kind of timid. They don't utilize everything. Like you said, in the Wake Forest game, Bibbs was cutting and slashing and making all sorts of plays. Well, Hudson can do the same. Bibbs can sit out and knock down all the threes he wants, but Buzz wants paint touches, and the better shots are coming when you create and drive and penetrate and find open guys.
Yeah, and certainly if he's knocking them down, Buzz has no complaints.
Right.
And I'm not going to pretend that I watch this team the same way that Buzz does. But any shooter, any knockdown shooter or an elite shooter that wants to not only be successful at that level, but also have a professional basketball career, look no further than what J.J. Redick did to enhance his own career.
Sure.
That was a guy who was the best, he was the most in-shape player on the floor at any given time.
Yeah.
Every offensive possession, he's running through 6, 7, 8 screens.
Oh, it was incredible.
To get the ball in his hands.
Watch him play.
So,
yeah.
if that's what you're going to be, if that's what you want to be, that's the kind of approach you have to take, I guess.
That really is. You have to be an exceptionally hard worker. I've heard stories about Ahmed Hill, being in the gym at 5 a.m. in the morning this year with Buzz,
mm-hmm.
Just working on ball handling drills and everything like that. And I've heard just the work ethic he has just far exceeds a lot of other guys. And that's not to say that other guys do not work hard, because they do. But his is just so much. He has an Eric Green type of work ethic, which is why I'm so in favor of redshirting him this year, because if you can keep a guy with that kind of work ethic for 5 years in a basketball program, they got a chance to be really good.
Well, isn't it interesting, though, how we asked Buzz again after the game if he had come to a decision on Med yet, and it really seems like he's going to redshirt him, but he just hasn't made a decision
yet. I don't know why
he
won't come out and say it.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe if we get to the point...
He doesn't have to.
I was going to say, I'm not blaming him or anything.
Maybe if we run off like 6 wins in a row, and we're up to like 18 wins, and we're right there on the bubble... And you're like, okay, we got a chance to make the tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe, but then at that point, what if you play him and you don't make it?
Yeah, so, it just hurts the kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And he knows that.
Yeah, and he knows that. So I don't know why he just won't come out and say, yeah, Med's redshirt.
He's a guy you want to have around your program, absolutely. And that you can build your program
That's
around.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, having him for 5 years, it's not just about his production. It's about him rubbing off on everybody else.
Exactly. Tech has gotten a lot better. You notice he came back to practice in early January, right? That's when we started getting better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's much of a coincidence. I think his type, his motor, I think really kicks up the level of practice. I can't wait till we can get him and Chris Clark on the court together. Because I like Jalen Hudson. I think he's a very talented player. I like Justin Bibbs. I think he's a talented kid. But I think those other two guys are more Buzz Williams type of players. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll be better defenders and better rebounders. And they'll bring a different athletic dynamic to the court that I think we're missing right now.
He said, I mean, Buzz comes out and says how much Emmett Hill has been helping him in practice all the time.
What was it, one game where somebody shot X percentage three? I think it was a Wake Forest game when Wake shot, 70% in the second half or something like that?
Right.
And Buzz in the press conference after the game, he said, I can guarantee you if Med was playing for us, they wouldn't have shot.
That's right, he did say that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is his guy.
Guy. Hey, before we let you go here, I looked at Danny the other night during the Louisville game, and I said, you know what? I said, this team is playing its tail off. The boxing out as a team, the defensive effort, I mean, it was just above and beyond what's probably expected by most people. But I just said, you know, they're a talented big away from being a completely different team. They're a one front court player with an offensive pulse away from being a completely different team. And I mean that. I don't mean to disrespect the Johnny Hamiltons and the Satchel Pierces, but Kerry Blackshear is the only big man on that team, because Zach Ledeh is not a legit big.
Right, he's not. But that's another thing, is just we lack a dynamic athletic presence in the front court.
Right.
Because, you know, Ledeh is not a great athlete. Blackshear is a good player, but he's not really a great athlete, I would say. So it's tough to match up in there. And
Can he be that guy?
I wouldn't say that. No, I don't think. I think he's got the size. I think he's better than Satchel. He'll be like a better defender, quicker than Satchel Pierce, more physical presence, better rebounder in traffic and things like that. But I don't know. It's hard to say at this point. I know it's tough on Buzz not knowing what you're going to get out of most of your team each night. Because the only thing you can rely on right now is you can pretty much guarantee that Ledeh is going for 16 to 20 every night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that is guaranteed on this team. You don't know what anybody else is going to do on a nightly basis, which is pretty amazing that we're playing as well as we are right there, considering the injuries and the lack of consistency from individuals.
Now, I say the thing about, you know, having another big out there, but honestly, the way the game's going right now, and Golden State's a perfect embodiment of that, you don't necessarily need a big, you know, offensive back-to-the-basket type player anymore. As a matter of fact, they're a dying breed. So we could spend all day on that. We're out of time, Chris. We appreciate it.
Yep.
And we will talk to Chris once again coming up on Wednesday, National Signing Day. Our coverage and our partnership with TechSideline.com will bring you the best wall-to-wall coverage of National Signing Day beginning at 7 a.m. on Wednesday morning, culminating in Wednesday's show, where we'll have Chris back in studio, and we'll hear from Justin Fuente, the new head coach at Virginia Tech. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the show, and put a bow on the week. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.